good morning, Prayer of Faith, and thank you again for taking time on this Christmas morning to join us for Christmas worship. It's just a pleasure looking out there and seeing our church family on Christmas Day. By the way, thank you for your prayers, your cards, your texts, your food that you sent our way during Kish's recovery of her surgery. She's doing well, but each day is just a little bit better. And we took some time yesterday over at the family, and that kind of wore her out. So she's spending today recuperating, but each day is a little better. And we thank you for your prayers on that. Yesterday, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Kathy Day. It was her birthday on Christmas Eve. Amen. And, of course, next Friday is Anthony and Tina Scott's anniversary. That'll be coming up. We didn't have any services last Wednesday, so I hope none of you showed up in the parking lot. If you did, we apologize. You know, we encourage you to sign up for our church texts. Information on that's on the slides. It's on our websites, or if you're still unsure how to do that, just let me know, and I'll add you myself on there. And that takes care of that, because it's very important that you stay informed what we do here at Prayer of Faith, and to keep in touch with your church family that way so we can make special announcements. And finally, there won't be any Wednesday services this week either, by the way. We're taking this time off during the holidays for staff and for you just to spend time and rest up. It's just that time of year when you just take a deep breath and just enjoy your family, just enjoy your time. And just to get ready and for the upcoming new year where it's coming up. So we just want you to have time to rest with that. So this Christmas morning, as we gather to worship our Lord and sing songs to Him and the Word, this is the fifth Sunday of Advent. As you heard from Austin and Michaela today, the fifth candle, it represents the candle of Jesus. And Pastor Adam, as earlier, thank you for reading our Christmas story of our Lord and Savior. Christmas isn't Christmas until you hear the Christmas story. My message this morning is out of Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. I'll begin reading out of Philippians chapter 2. It says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the spirit of the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of the mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that every name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Amen. So to begin our message and our Christmas worship, let's all shout, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's join me in prayer as we gather, Father. Here in this sanctuary, we thank you. This sanctuary of safety, where we can get away from the things of the world for a brief time. We thank you for the fellowship that we have and the family that we have gathered, that we have support from each other. Just thank you for that. And we ask that you will strengthen us and inspire us with your love and with your patience. We ask, Father, that you would please fill us with the peace that we so desire this holiday season, so that as we journey onwards, we pour out your love and grace to others around us who perhaps are not familiar with this love that you give us. And we ask today that our souls would catch the wind of your Spirit, so that we would take the promises to those who are all around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I have an interesting thought I want to give you for our Christmas devotion this morning. It'll be short, so don't worry. But over in Marietta, Georgia, there's a mother who has two daughters. It's a true story. And she used to tell them a story about an elf that she made up. A little doll. She made up a little doll, a little elf, and she would set this little elf on the shelf. And she would tell them the story about that elf, and that the elf was there sitting on the shelf, and he's always watching them, what they do, whether they're good or bad. And while they sleep, when the time that they go to sleep in their beds, this elf takes a nocturnal journey up to the North Pole. And he tells Santa Claus what all he saw during the day. And then he comes back. And when he comes back, he's always in a different place than when the children saw him before they went to bed. So when the children wake up the next morning, they're amazed. So you're probably sitting here this morning thinking, well, why do I care about that? Well, hang on, you'll see in a moment. So this lady, she had an idea. She told this story to her children at Christmas. It was a family tradition. And every morning when they would wake up, sure enough, this little elf was sitting in a different location in the house. And that was proof that this little elf took this long journey up to the North Pole and came back. And so to make a long story short, this soon became an American phenomenon in about 2005. And it just started expanding. And they came up with this thing, and it was just amazing. As a matter of fact, the little mother down in Marietta, Georgia, she ended up hitting it big with this thing. And then when her two daughters began to grow up, they became business partners or business-minded entrepreneurs and just helped it expand. And they came up with this little package. And in this little package contained a book about the story of the elf on the shelf and along with the elf inside of it as well. And to make a long story short, it sells about $10 million a year since 2005. It's a big seller. So go ahead and turn next to somebody and say, I wish you were smart enough to come up with that. Just think, a staggering $10 million a year off of Elf on the Shelf. Amazing. Now, you may want to cover your child's ears on this one, but there's really no elf watching you every day or with you every day. But you do have self with you every day. And I just want to spend a few moments talking about how it seems like the world is all about self, especially as we've come through the pandemic and we've seen people just watching out for themselves. And after the pandemic is slowly beginning to subside, this lingers on, this self-attitude. And maybe what could happen this Christmas is maybe we could learn to put self on a shelf. And you could find out that there's a lot more to life than just self or just living all about self and watching out for your own. I mean, the world tells us it's about self-esteem, about self-awareness, about self-confidence, self-image. And don't get me wrong, all of these things are fine. But when you begin to make life just all about self, self-improvement, self-interest, self-sufficiency. I can take care of myself. You don't have to help me. Self-reliance. And if that's not enough, you see it on social media. Selfies. I mean, they're everywhere. Religious people even have an issue because they think it's all about self-righteousness. They think it's all about self-justification with the thinking of, well, I'm good. I've done this, and therefore I kind of deserve that. But God's word says it's all about self-control, self-denial, self-examination, self-sacrifice. In so many words, I want to change it and say that Christmas is really about putting self on a shelf and letting Jesus take the throne of your heart. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself." If you're eaten up with your own ego, if your own pride, you think that maybe everybody else has a problem and you kind of got it together and you wish other people would too. The Bible says if you think yourself to be something when you're not, then you're deceived. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 in God's Word says not to think highly of himself than one ought to think. Put yourself on a shelf. Humble yourself. We need a Savior. We need forgiveness, and we need God's help. We need God's life in our family. We need Jesus, because if you put self on a shelf, you'll get that. But if you don't, you'll live a selfish life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, we dare not compare ourselves among ourselves. If you want a miserable life, then start comparing yourself with somebody else all the time, with other people. Compare yourself with what they have and with what you don't yet. Compare yourself with what other people are doing at Christmas. We got to go to church. Other people are at home unwrapping presents and singing Christmas songs and drinking hot chocolate, and we're at church. Comparing yourself with other people. And you're not doing what they're not doing. Or you don't have what they have. Can you believe what those so-and-so parents got them? We're never going to be able to afford that for our kid. Don't compare yourself. Because if you do so, you'll live a miserable life. That's why we need to put self on a shelf and put Jesus as the center of everything. That's why this center candle represents Jesus. He's the center of everything. And as you do this, the purpose and the meaning and the true destiny in your life starts to kick in when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. See, many people love to ask Jesus to be the Savior of their life, to wash their sins away, but they're not quite ready to make Him Lord of their life. They still want to hold the wheel and drive the bus. Luke chapter 9 says this, and it really sums everything up I want to say here in the last minutes of my message, but it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Meaning to put himself on a shelf, put his will on a shelf. Yes, I'm sorry for you life coaches out there, but yes, put your dreams on a shelf and let Jesus be Lord. Whenever you say thy kingdom come, as you say the Lord's Prayer, you're really saying, my kingdom go, your kingdom come. And as you put self on a shelf, you begin to die to your own will. That's what it means really to know Jesus. That's the message of Christmas. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and begin to follow me. Give it up, like Moses did. Empty yourself, like David did. He emptied himself. Empty yourself, like Noah did. He emptied himself as well. Like Mary did. At that first call of God, not saying, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, be it under me according to your word. And she put self on a shelf, her self-reputation, and all the plans that she had perhaps for her life. She put it on a shelf, and God used her in a mighty, mighty way for his glory. When self is in charge, that happens when Jesus is not the center of your life. You may have Jesus as your Savior, but he may not be the center of your life. I'd like to say to all Christians this morning to put self on a shelf when it comes to your standing with God. Now, in doing that, I'm not saying to judge yourself. Don't write this as the end of your story because you messed up somewhere, because it's never about us being able to perform perfectly. And when we have all these issues in our lives that we're dealing with and all of these problems in our lives that happen to us or we're still working out, don't try to earn God's love by thinking, well, maybe if I come to church more, maybe if I give more, maybe if I pray more, maybe if I read my Bible more, maybe God will like me better and my life won't be like this. It's not about you or me trying to earn our salvation. But we put ourselves on a shelf and receive the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what that allows us to do. Because we'll never finish see the finished work of Christ in our lives if we've got ourselves in front of Him. And through the blood that He shed on a cross, it was that precious blood that washes away all of our sin. Your sin. My sin. And you don't earn a bit of that. You can't earn a bit of that. And whenever we get that understanding in our lives, it'll set you free. Don't even make it what people think about you. Don't make it about what you think about you even. Just put yourself on a shelf. Because really all that matters is what Jesus thinks about you. And when you're able to grasp that in your life, the Christmas story suddenly makes sense. And about God's love for mankind. And sure, as Adam read earlier, the Christmas story tells us how that first beginning happened. But as we get older in life, sometimes that becomes calloused because we're used to that story. And we just wait till the story's done and then dive into opening up the presents. And it really doesn't make that much sense or concern anymore. Because we start beginning to live for ourselves. But when we start to live one for another, that puts self on a shelf. When families are able to reconcile, because maybe there's been trouble in your family, fights or offenses in your family. Holidays are a prime time for that to happen. Maybe you had a fight at Thanksgiving. Maybe you can reconcile by Christmas. I don't know. But as long as self is in control, self won't be humble. Self won't ask forgiveness. Self certainly not going to reach across the aisle in a gesture of goodwill. Because self is always about me and how I have been done wrong. But you see, as we read in our text today, Jesus is the model. The whole story of Christmas is about Jesus being the King of Glory. We sing Joy to the World, and again, we become calloused. It really doesn't mean that much because we're just used to singing a Christmas carol. But as a matter of fact, in our text today in Philippians 2, verse 6, it says, although He existed in a form of God, He did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. You understand what that means? That means He was equal. He was God, almighty, powerful God. And He put Himself on a shelf. And He walked down those star-studded steps of glory to a barnyard in Bethlehem. He put all of that majesty that He has and the millions of angels at His beckoning and command, all of them angels of glory and power. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says that all earth is held together by the power of the King's word. And He put all of that on a shelf. And He came down as a baby, born in a manger for you and for me. And when you understand that, the Christmas story that you heard read this morning by Pastor Adam, and the scripture reading for our advent of Jesus read by these young parents, it all begins to make sense. Why the angels sang joy to the world, the Lord has come. Jesus put it all on a shelf, and He took the form of a servant and was made in the likeness, lowly likeness of man. And He humbled Himself and He became obedient. And it got worse because after being born in a stable full of animal urine and manure, and then after being a nobody for 30 years, except for a hard-working carpenter, nobody ever knew who He was for 30 years. He does nothing. No miracles. No healings. He just puts all of that on a shelf so that he could feel what you and I feel, so that he could hurt like you and I hurt, so that he could feel shame and pain and anguish and fear just like you and I do. And then it says in Philippians, our text today, that he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And that's why I'm proud to come to Christmas service on Christmas Day. That's why I think that's top priority. And when you get that, you have no problem with that as well. I conclude with this. But when you put yourself on a shelf, and when you stop living for self, and when you stop making life about me, myself, and I, and you put self on a shelf, and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, watch what happens in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed him in the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and that those who are in heaven, of those who on earth, and those who are under the earth." And so I conclude with this: the greatest gift you could give Jesus on his birthday is yourself. The greatest gift that some could give is their family, is to put yourself on a shelf and make Jesus the Lord of your life. The greatest gift that perhaps maybe one could give their parents is to put self on a shelf and make Jesus the Lord of your life. The greatest gift that you could give your husband is not a bass boat or whatever it is, although that'd be a close second. But the greatest gift that you could give your husband is to put yourself on the shelf and receive Jesus. Maybe the greatest gift, guys, to give your wife is that she could actually walk out of here with a new man, a better daddy, a better husband, not a perfect person, but a person who truly wants to transform himself to be more like Jesus. So put yourself on a shelf, humble yourself, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, and everything will begin to change. How many of y'all believe that this morning? For many of us, this may just be another candlelight service. But maybe somebody hearing this, whether you're here today or whether you're watching on social media, it's where light will be able to pierce through the darkness that maybe they've been in. Emmanuel is here. God is here. And so this morning, in a moment, as we sing Silent Night, as we light these candles, maybe you can just whisper a prayer right there where you're standing. Or see Pastor Adam and I afterwards. We'd be happy to pray with you. But right now, this Christmas day, let's just worship and lift Jesus high. And in a moment, as we light our candles, we can lift them up as we sing Silent Night and hold them as a testimony when we proclaim that light shines over darkness, and that we are carrying the light of the world to a dark world out there to show them the hope, the peace, the love, the joy, and of course, Jesus. Let's carry that light into our home, to our family, and everywhere we go. As we receive a new light in our soul, we can now become the soul on fire for Jesus Christ. So in a moment, as we light our candle, let's show the world the light of Christ as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. And all the church said, amen.